Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, September the 7th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue to observe the fulfillment of all that you have told us. We come today asking that you would fill us with understanding as we build this confidence each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's subject is God's promises are conditional. God's promises are conditional. And we're reading from Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 17, written in 1902. We're taking a look at Manuscript 77. And of course, this is from Ellen White's writings. And in this particular manuscript is a speech that was preached at California Conference of Camp Meetings in California on Sabbath afternoon, June the 7th, in 1902. This is what she said. The topic again, God's promises are conditional. God's promises are conditional. In order to make it possible for Him to bless us, we must do our part. We cannot expect that all His blessings will come to us naturally if we fold our hands in inactivity. We are to be laborers together with God. It is our privilege and duty to labor for souls ready to perish. If you have a knowledge of God and have taken your position under the banner of Prince Emmanuel, remember that you're not to allow yourself to come under the control of the powers of darkness, the fallen angels. You're to keep in mind the promises that pertain to eternal life and godliness, and seek for divine power that is given to enable you to escape everything that would lead you astray. And to acknowledge temperance, this is a point that every one of us should consider. The strength of natural appetites depends very much on the treatment they receive. Those who indulge appetite, eating and drinking with the drunken, those who practice gluttony, eating double the amount that they should eat, bring the system into such a condition that it is next to impossible for them to be partakers of the divine nature, because they do not escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. The temple of God, which should be kept holy, is polluted and defiled. Think of all the wickedness that is committed as a result of the sale of liquor. The men who sell liquor are familiar with the evil effects that it produces. Not only the man who sells liquor, but also the man who buys and drinks it, is held accountable for the wicked deeds committed under its influence. God stands ready to give divine power to any sincere man to enable him to overcome appetite for liquor. But oh, how much better it is for parents to teach their children from babyhood never to use a drop of intoxicating liquor. And parents, besides helping their children by setting an example of strict temperance, should shield them from the so-called friends who would lead them to indulge appetite. The food that we eat has much to do with the question of temperance. Parents should take into account the relation of food to morals. The use of flesh meats animalizes the nature. There needs to be an awakening on this point. How can anyone desire to live on the flesh of dead animals when they have the privilege of using the fruit, the grains, the vegetables, and nuts that God has given us in such abundance? The enemy does everything in his power to gain control of the minds of men and women. He leads them to cultivate a perverted appetite, so that rather than to deprive them of injurious things, they go on in indulgence after indulgence. We hope that at this meeting, those who understand the principles of health reform will exert a strong influence on the side of temperance. Let Christ's followers abstain not only from alcohol, tobacco, tea, and coffee, but also from every other harmful thing that beclouds the brain. The enemy has arranged matters so as to ensnare the greatest number. He leads men and women to use stimulated foods and foods that becloud the nerve power of the brain so that they are unable to distinguish between right and wrong, between good and evil. Parents teach the members of your household that indulgence of appetite is the work of the enemy. Teach them to guard against their deceptions. Such instructions should be given by everyone who takes the responsibility of bringing children into the world, and especially at this age of the world's history. Fathers and mothers should realize that their children are the property of God, and that He holds them accountable to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We are to practice temperance on every point, for we need all the brain nerve power that it is possible for us to have in order that we may be able to resist Satan's temptations. We are not to pamper appetite, diseasing or digestive organs by indulgence. God desires us to be true to the principles of health reform. Let us remember that we have a heaven to win and a hell to shun. We are to realize that the divine presence is constantly by our side. Christ has said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world," says Matthew 28 and verse 20. Remember that He hears every unkind word, every harsh, cutting expression. Could you see Jesus standing by your side? Would you speak such words? Then guard carefully every word and action. Walk in all lowliness of mind, cherishing a spirit of meekness and kindness. Live so that others may see that there is a difference between the disposition of a Christian and the disposition of those who make no claim to be Christ's followers. Words that create heart burnings and disunion should never escape the lips of Christ's followers. We must put on Christ. We must be Christ-like in every word and action. Thus we shall be partakers of the divine nature. Only by partaking of the divine nature can we live the life of Christ. Fathers and mothers, wherever you are, whether in your home or elsewhere, it is never right for you to speak one disrespectful word to each other. If you are harassed, say firmly, "This is from Satan. He wants me to perpetuate his words, his spirit, but I will not do it." Determine to speak in love, to cultivate patience, kindness, long-suffering, courtesy, and delicacy in dealing with one another. Why? Because you are a Christian. Because you are preparing for the society of the heavenly angels, for a home in the kingdom of glory, where no harsh, unkind, impatient words are ever spoken. Remember that it is Satan who leads men and women to speak unkindly to one another. Never let parents scold their children. Never should they administer punishment when it is a fit passion in their hearts. Children cannot be trained aright in this matter. Angry parents need to be chastened by the rod themselves instead of chastening their children. Punishment in anger only hurts and provokes. Do you want a home in heaven? We are all desirous of reaching heaven. But does anyone desire to reach heaven in order that he may fret and scold or punish in anger and exercise arbitrary authority? On the other hand, do we not desire to reach heaven because peace reigns there? Because on every side we shall hear the words, "The gentleness hath made me great." Mothers, take your rightful position as a loving teacher of your children. Remember that the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that moves the world. Never give expression to words of anger. Keep a cheerful countenance. Children are very susceptible to expressions of joy and sorrow. I remember that sometimes when things which caused sorrow would be brought to me while I was holding one of my children in my arms, the change of expression on my countenance would be noticed at once by my child. Seeing the expression of sadness come over my face, the little babe, only 3 months old, would burst out crying and could hardly be pacified. At first, I did not know what caused him to cry, but I soon learned. Parents, let our countenances reveal constantly the peace and consolation of Christ. This is a missionary work that you are able to do at home. Missionary work begins in the home. Educate and train your children for the future immortal life. Lead them to give their hearts to God, that they with you may be numbered among the people. You can teach them to stand by you, to strengthen your hands as the missionary work, and in turn, you can strengthen them. Parents, sanctify yourselves, that your children also may be sanctified. Sanctify your talents of speech. Words are a precious gift, capable of doing much good and accomplishing a great work for the Master. Let every word be such that you can have it written in the books of heaven without being ashamed to meet your record in the judgment. Great blessings are lost because of discouraging and passionate words. Brethren and sisters, learn lessons of self-control. When someone speaks passionately to you, keep silent. Feelings of anger, when met in this way, die out very quickly. A hastily spoken reply also makes matters worse. Brethren and sisters, I beg of every one of you to make the most of this camp meeting. If you have backslidden, I entreat you, for Christ's sake, to return to Him. Be reconverted. Let the conversions begin today. Let parents confess to their children in regard to the points on which they have neglected their duty. Let them confess their negligence in regard to allowing their children to follow the fashions and to mingle in worldly society simply because they wanted to be like the world. It is impossible for us to be Christ-like while we are worldly-minded. It is impossible for us to be Christ-like while we are following the path of the world. We cannot separate ourselves from the world itself. We must remain in the world, but we should separate from its evil practices, its wrong ideas, its sinfulness. We should practice self-denial in everything in order to have power to living by living faith in Christ, to claim the richest promises given us in His Word. Just before the first morn was slain in Egypt, God instructed the Israelites to gather their children into their houses with them and to strike the lintel and the two-sided posts with their doors with blood, so that when the destroying angel went through the land, he would recognize the houses thus marked as the dwelling places of Christ's followers and pass over them. Today we must gather our children about us if we desire to save them from the destructive power of the evil one. The conflict between Christ and Satan will increase in intensity until the end of this earth's history. We are to have faith in the blood of Christ in order that we may pass safely through the perilous times just before us. Let the children receive the blessings of this meeting. If you try to help them by personal labor in your family tents, working with Christ-like simplicity, the reviving reformatory power of God will come into your tents and enable you to pray in faith. Then you can ask for the Lord's richest blessings to rest upon the little company in your tent. He that lacketh these things is blind. If we work diligently upon the plan of addition, we shall not be barren in knowledge of Christ. We should, however, take heed to ourselves, lest we fall because we do not cherish and cultivate the Christian graces. He who lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. This scripture brings us to view those who are in a divided state, those who walk as they please, those who indulge appetite and passionate speech, failing to take themselves in hand. Such persons have no moral strength to carry out the principles that should bring to them an overcomer the crown of life. They are like a man who has forgotten that he has been purged from his own sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. This is the only election that is spoken of in the Bible. Your election is dependent on your course of action, and if you will to make your election sure, you can do so. If you will to make it uncertain by sinning while professing to be righteous, you can also do so. You can become angry. You can be dishonest in trade. You can, in other respects, follow the course of the ungodly. But will it pay? I ask you, will it pay? Will you not determine to make your calling and election sure? And not only for yourself, but for your children? Will you not strive to bind up your children with Christ? If you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, you will never fail. You will never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This promise is an eternal life insurance policy, and it is offered to every one of us. The apostle continues, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth." To those who desire to make their calling and election sure and to obtain this eternal life insurance policy, we would say, remember that you are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. God is watching intently to see what kind of timbers parents and children put into their character building. When the tiller of the soil sows seed, he apparently throws away the grain. Parents may think that they're teaching their children the principles of kindness and patience. They are throwing away their time and efforts. But if they're faithful in training their children, they will reap an abundant harvest as surely as will the one who sows good seed in his field. Parents, make your home a little heaven on earth. You can do this if you choose. You can make home so pleasant and cheerful that it will be the most attractive place on earth to your children. Let them receive all the blessings of the household. You can relate yourself to God that His Spirit will abide in your home. Come close to the bleeding side of the man of Calvary. Those who are partakers with Him in His suffering will at last be partakers with Him in His glory. We are offered an everlasting life insurance policy that assures us a life which measures with the life of the infinite God. We are to make manifest that we are not working for earthly riches and honor, but for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. When we have been offered so much, shall we not with every power of the being strive to be overcomers? If such an effort made men and women miserable, if it caused them to feel that they were under condemnation, we could not appeal so strongly to you to take up the cross and follow the Savior. But we know that the effort to run with patience the race set before you will bring happiness into your face, the sparkle of glad satisfaction into your eyes, and nobility into your soul. In this light look at the Christian race, grasp the hand of the infinite, reach down to save you. He says, "I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." That's Isaiah 41 and verse 13. Remember that in God you have a mighty helper. In the parable of the talents now, the servants who had 5 talents traded upon them wisely, and in the day of reckoning was able to bring double that number to the master. The one also who had 2 doubled his talents, but the man who had 1 talent hid it in a napkin and buried it in the earth. And when the master returned and reckoned with his servants, the sentence pronounced upon this slothful servant was, "Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Brethren and sisters, what are you doing to prepare yourself for a home in glory. Do you realize that to everyone is given his work? God has not given all the same work. Some have a greater number of talents than others. Those who have 5 talents should faithfully trade upon them. To those who have 2 talents, the Lord says, trade upon your talents, using and improving them to my glory. We are to use our talents according to our several ability. Remember that you have at least 1 talent. Resolve by the grace of God to use your talent wisely and to see whether you can gain another one. Thank God that He has manifested His great love to you by entrusting you even with 1 talent. By word and action, show that you appreciate the gift, that you regard it as a treasure greater in value than anything else you possess. Put your talent out to the exchangers. If you use it faithfully, you will gain another talent. And by a faithful use of these 2 talents, you will gain 2 more. Today God is calling you indeed to be His worker, His co-worker, spreading the gospel, doing that which is available to be done. And God has promised that if we are consistent in that which we are called to do, His promises will be unfolded. For His promises are indeed conditional. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you have promised. We thank you for the kindness that you show every day. We thank you for the time that is spent in teaching your children to walk in the right way. We ask today that you would give us the strength as we continue to follow the path before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your Daily Briefing, September the 7th, 2021.